This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we are 58 years of service to our clients and community. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we welcome you, the rich, the only listener, to our family, because relationships matter to all of us. We are Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Most students want the Supreme Court to interpret the Constitution for the modern era. Did the Pennsylvania Supreme Court just hand Joe Biden the election? And South Park is going to air their pandemic-themed special episode. Good. Because somebody needs to mock this nonsense. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. This is the Cioli Show. Happy Friday, 855-839-1210. You can tweet me at Rich Cioli, R-I-C-H-Z-E-O-L-I, or Facebook.com/Cioli Show. So, you know, I was thinking about some of the issues for the presidential election that really, really matter. As parents, you know, our kids being in school has become a big political issue on the national front, right? Ever since COVID, the idea of getting our kids back into the classroom and getting our kids playing sports again, getting our kids out there doing those kind of things, these have all become political issues. There was a guy last night during the town hall, a teacher with MS, who asked Joe Biden a question. He doesn't want to go, have to be in the classroom. He doesn't want to die, you know. It was a very, very, I guess, emotional moment in the Biden town hall, which was otherwise completely lackluster. But the point that I got from it was, you know, the evil Trump who wants these kids back in classrooms and all these teachers are going to get sick and die. And because everything is political in this day and age, everything is political. Literally, the idea of kids going back to school because COVID has become political. You know, I just saw on TV, I guess it's Lenape High School in South Jersey. They're going to be closed for a couple days while they look into kids who may have COVID, and they're going to clean the building and all this other stuff. More schools now have opened, but they're going virtual. New York City schools just announced they're not going to open next week as they thought. They're going to push the date back again because de Blasio is an idiot. And so if you're a parent, you know, you've wanted your kids to go back in school. You've had to listen to a lot of propaganda saying it's dangerous for teachers, we can't do it. I told you how Millennial's wife, she's in a classroom teaching using a camera. The kids are at home watching along, which I think is great. Had a teacher call in yesterday and say that that's what she does at her school. Kids are in the classroom. Kids who can't be there for whatever reason, they're virtual, they're learning virtually. I think it's also great. Kids are playing sports. I hope the sports continue. I hope that the seasons go forward. You know, my son's playing soccer and Claire's doing dance classes, and I think all that's great. But as parents, you've been shamed a lot of this in many ways. And so it became a political dividing line. The teachers' unions saying, we don't want kids to go back to school, right? Republicans, Donald Trump, some Republican governors saying kids need to be back in the classroom. I had Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education, on the show. She said, yeah, you know what? Kids should be in the classroom. Like, we see the science. They should be in the classroom. So now that we're looking at our kids being back in school, and then you have the indoctrination of these books that kids have to read as part of their curriculum, and parents are paying attention to this stuff in a new way right now because they're recognizing how woke a lot of these schools are. And maybe it's just something they've been able to ignore in the past because, you know, they're going to work or something. Kids go to school and the kids come home, and Now suddenly all this is being spilled out on the kitchen table. Trump is smart to make this part of the presidential election. It's smart of him to be out there on the issue of kids in schools, because even though I don't believe there's any role whatsoever for the federal government to play in education, they're in education. And so, you know, parents look to the president to find out what he thinks on these matters. The president did an interview yesterday with Clay Travis from Outkick the Coverage. He's a sports guy, and the president was talking about the Big Ten playing football again. He also talked about Joe Biden and how sleepy he is. And we brought back Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush made a comeback. Cut number 8.
Look, with me, you know what you have, and we've done incredible deals with even Big Ten. I got Big Ten. No other president would have gotten involved in that, as an example. There's no other president, Clay, that would have. You understand that. They would have. Can you imagine Obama wouldn't have done it? Just wouldn't have done it. And it just is not in the makeup. And can you imagine Biden doing it? He's a low-energy person. I used to call Jeb Bush a low-energy. But, I mean, if you compare the two, Jeb is extraordinarily energetic compared to Sleepy Joe. So, you know, I mean, Joe's not going to be doing that kind of stuff. And it's sort of fun because, you know, I have this platform, and it's sort of easy to do when you have we have this great platform. You're president of the United States. We hear that football all over these incredible states and all of the people that are affected by it, everybody, even in the stands, the people that work the stands, everybody, so many people, so many jobs, so many everything. And you have this platform and you go out and you use it and you use it for good. But I don't think a lot of people would do that. And I think a lot of people, if they did it, they wouldn't know how to do it.
You know, getting kids to play sports again has mattered a lot. Parents all over the state of Pennsylvania have been rallying outside of Harrisburg, athletic groups in New Jersey. I mean, parents have been very active about this. I think it's pretty obvious most parents want their kids back in school. I think it's pretty obvious most parents want their kids playing sports again. I also think it's pretty obvious, too, most parents don't want their kids to have to suffer through the kind of indoctrination that, you know, like that book on the police shooting or the book on whiteness is shoving down their kids' mouths. These things are all now becoming political issues. That's why when Trump comes out and goes, I'm going to do a patriotic school curriculum. Now, normally this stuff would not percolate into the national level. But at the heart of all of this, of course, comes down to a major issue in education, school choice. And how Trump wants school choice. He wants to empower school choice. Joe Biden does not. And if there's ever been a time for parents to realize the importance of school choice, well, because COVID, now we're finally talking about it, right? Because COVID. Because for you, if your kids are in a school where your kids are not able to go back in person, but you don't have the money to send them to private school, you're probably upset and you wish you could. And there's questions of, if the school's not going to open virtually, why can't that money that would go to the district follow your kid and you could use that money to send your kid to a different school? That's the essence of school choice right there. These things are sometimes talked about kind of in the periphery and people don't really pay attention until it hits them home. And all of a sudden, you're driving in the car, maybe because you're, you know, running errands and you find out that your school now has just switched to all virtual learning and you got to go pick up your kids because someone in the school tested positive for COVID and now they're going to shut down the school for the rest of the year. And you think to yourself, well, wait a second, that's crazy. The Catholic school or the Friends school up the street, they're open. I want to send them there, but I don't have $15,000 to do it. You know, that's why suddenly now parents are going, oh, you know what? I like this school choice idea. Why do I have to have my kids just in this school and there's no ability for them to go anywhere else? COVID has brought so many different issues, first and foremost, right? Things that we didn't used to talk about. Do we really need to be in an office? Do we really need to shake hands? Do we really need to be able to send our kids to other schools? I mean, these are some of the questions that people are asking. Do we need to be in an office? Some people say, nope, never again. Other people say, this has taught me more than anything. I need the energy level of being around other people. I miss that. I want that. We're shaking hands. Some people say, nope, never again. It's germs. Other people say, you know what? I can't wait to shake hands again because it shows that we're not afraid of viruses and the other thing. I can't wait till there's a vaccine so I can give somebody a hug again. Give a little contact to somebody. I don't want to do this for the rest of my life where we have to all stand apart from each other. And the school question, parents that in the past may never would have thought about school choice are now suddenly turning around and going, I got to be able to do something else if my school is not going to stay open. I can't have my kids at the dining room table again. All right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Lou is in Hamilton. Lou, good morning.
Hi, Rich. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are things in the Blueberry Capital today?
They're awesome.
Good.
Awesome. Anyway, you saw my thunder. I couldn't agree more. School choice could be President Trump's defining issue for his legacy because We have to get the Senate. We have to keep the Senate, elect Donald Trump, and we have to take back the House of Representatives. If we can do that, we can start implementing school choice and stop this indoctrination and start making headway into the Democrat Party and getting rid of the today's Democrat Party, because it's so, so important. I see parochial school teachers in the parking lot, you know, high-fiving each other going into class this morning. And I say to myself, them poor teachers are doing a great education. They're not even getting paid the money they should be.
Yeah.
With school choice, you can pay them people more. And it's so important that we get a Republican Senate, House, and the presidency.
Well said, Lou. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend. I appreciate the call. That's also why the president said yesterday, you know, I will sign an executive order establishing a national commission to promote patriotic education. It will be called the 1776 Commission. And I will encourage your educators to teach your children about the miracle of American history and make plans to honor the 250th anniversary of our founding, which will happen in 2026. So, you know, normally you'd say, I don't want the federal government getting involved in curriculum planning for schools, but we're at a time now where parents are looking for alternatives and answers, and they just can't find it anywhere. And so what you have is you have schools have become indoctrination camps. Colleges have become indoctrination camps. Ahead of Constitution Day, most students want the Supreme Court to give the document a modern interpretation. According to the College Fix, Jennifer Cabany, the editor writing this, College Fix asked 1,000 college students, right? Should future U.S. Supreme Court nominees base their rulings on their understandings of what the U.S. Constitution meant as it was originally written, or should future nominees base their rulings on what they think it means in current times? 69% of college students replied, current times. Well, 19% supported its original meaning. The rest said they are not sure. Now, by the way, the original meaning, right? So that's what I say. I'm an originalist. I look at what the Constitution said when it was originally written. That amendment as applied to at the time it was written, not now, then. And then you interpret a law now based through the lens of what that amendment meant at the time it was passed. That's called originalism. And the great debate, of course, is whether or not the Constitution is a living, breathing document or it's dead, right? If you're somebody who believes that we go back and look at what they meant at the time they wrote it, what do they mean when they wrote persons are to be secure in their papers and their effects? It doesn't mean that it doesn't include your cell phone. It just means that their original point was you have this ability, the government, if they're going to invade your personal property and your privacy to try to get you, to try to accuse you of something, they got to have a warrant because you walk around with a presumption of innocence and the government can't just target you. Like, that's a good thing to look at that through the original lens of interpretation, isn't it? But a whopping 86% of college students who identify as Democrat want Supreme Court nominees to offer a modern interpretation of the Constitution. Well, only 26% of students who identify as Republicans support that. Independents also lean heavily toward a living Constitution at 60%. The bottom line is that it's very obvious to me that I think that the indoctrination camp of public education has worked, and it proves that in college. You see that. But we now, for the first time ever, are getting a real front row seat to how our kids learn in public schools. If you're a parent right now and your kids have to be at your dining room table and they're in fifth grade, sixth grade, kindergarten, whatever, you're seeing for the first time something you've never really maybe paid attention to in the past by virtue of your schedule or whatever else. And the issue of you having the ability as a parent to go, okay, well, guess what? Even though you're going to close the school because of COVID, which I think is a mistake, I'm going to take my money and I'm going to send it to the school across town because they're going to keep the school open. Even if kids get COVID, they're still going to find a way to do education. And I want my kids in that building. So I'm going to take my check. Instead of sending it to the public school in my town, I'm going to send it to this other school over here. That's school choice. And because COVID, parents now are supportive of that. Does this translate into the presidential election? You bet. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. You know what? Sports are back. Big Ten, absolutely. I'm all for it. And I'm excited because it's good for America to have sports back. And FanDuel Sportsbook has great bets for you to make the games even more fun. You probably heard about FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino and their world-class sports betting app. FanDuel makes it easy to find and place your bets. They got some of the best odds you'll find anywhere. Constant enhanced odds boost, and they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. There's a lot of reasons to try FanDuel Sportsbook, but here are two more reasons. Right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. And they also have something called their Always On Promotion, the football double-up Always On Promotion. When you place a pregame moneyline wager, and if your team scores 35-plus points, you can double your winnings for a max bonus of $50 in site credit, one eligible wager per person. Go see for yourself why FanDuel is the number one sportsbook app. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code RICH. It's my name, so they know that I sent you. Promo code RICH. You must be 21 and older. Present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
I'm really excited that South Park is going to go down the road of mocking the pandemic because I saw in the preview, all the kids in the classroom were sitting behind plexiglass, and they all had masks on, right? You know they're going to mock the hell out of this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, and they'll be – South Park has a very good way of making it un-PC and funny, and they also kind of get away with it. Like, both sides kind of are like, yeah, that's funny. It's cool. You know what I mean? So I think they're the perfect vehicle for this to happen.
Bill, can you pull up the trailer for the new South Park special?
Sure.
The pandemic special?
Yes.
It looks pretty funny. I mean, just the picture of all the kids in their classroom wearing masks behind plexiglass, which is literally what people's classrooms look like right now. Like, it's funny because it's true. It's what it looks like.
Now, you said you saw this already, this trailer?
I didn't see the trailer. I'm just looking at the picture of it.
Oh, okay. Then let me make sure that we
play it. Make sure there's
don't know how well it translates over the radio because I watched it as well.
Oh, but, okay. I'll read you a couple of lines here. They say they're going to try to make us go back to school. Cartman says to Kyle in a trailer, "You really want to go back to that slavery?" And then he says, "Dude, get out of my house. You could be spreading germs." So it's going to tackle a myriad of 2020 problems. It'll be available to stream on HBO Max 24 hours after it airs. So the pandemic special will focus on Kyle and Cartman heading back to school with masks on, and Randy dealing with a booming pop business. So there you go. Amazing. I can't wait.
It's not as good as when it first aired, you know, in the early 2000s, but they come out with some really strong episodes, really strong.
I just love that the picture has the kids with the masks on and behind the plexiglass, because I don't understand the point of the plexiglass if the kids have masks on. I don't understand the point of a mask if the kids are behind plexiglass. Like, one or the other, right? Do you need both? Why not put the entire child in a plexiglass sort of a container? You know what I mean?
And
like a tube.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
what's the movie Bubble Boy? I think that from the 90s.
Just put the kid in a tube and end it already. I mean, like, you know, put him in a giant test tube.
The trailer is fine to play, but as Greg said, it doesn't. There's some gaps there that's imaging, but if you want to play it, we can.
Well, no, that's right. Maybe we'll put it on. Why don't we put it on social media?
Yeah, people can. Let's do that.
Can watch it on their own time on Facebook.com/Zeoli Show or Twitter. By the way, you have some social media for us?
I do. Let me pull it up. Hang on.
And I'll mention, too, that the big story of the day today is Joe Biden had a big town hall last night. I'm going to get into that. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court with an abomination of a ruling that I think basically hands Pennsylvania to Joe Biden in the presidential election if we're not careful. It's that destructive of a ruling. That big story is brought to you by Burlington. If you've been back to Burlington lately, well, there's lots of great stuff for back to school and back to everything. Burlington is open. Go check it out. Burlington has got something for everybody, and it's great to be back. Burlington stores. Go see them today. All right, Bill, what do we got?
So Scott says on Twitter, "Rich, why is it when you get penalized for filing your taxes late by even a day, but Tuesday election or Friday, meh, what's the difference?"
It's a great point, and that relates, of course, to the conversation earlier, how the Supreme Court has said they will accept mail-in ballots up until the Friday after the election. You're right. If you file your taxes the Friday after tax day, 3 days later, you get a fine and you get penalized. It's a great point.
Pat says and asks Rich, Rich, the Biden Town Hall has reminded me of the drive-in scene from the movie Red Dawn.
Ooh, wow. That is an outstanding reference right there. Greg, describe the drive-in scene from the movie Red Dawn for us.
I'm trying to remember it, but I do.
It's been a while since I've seen. I gotta rewatch Red Dawn.
It has. Yeah, I don't really. I remember what he's talking about. Like, I remember the reference. I just don't remember the scene.
Now, Bill has never seen the original Red Dawn. He's only seen the crappy remake.
I suffered through that crappy.
Abomination.
Yeah. Josh. Now, I mean, nobody should watch that remake. That's the problem. Did they even do the drive-in scene in that or no?
I don't remember. It's so.
Doubt it.
Probably not because they used. The original was the Russians, correct?
Yes.
So in the remake, they did North Korea. So they changed it all up in abomination ways. So
which is so lame, by the way, that they make it North Korea. It's like when Tom Clancy's book. In the book, it was like radical Islamist terrorists, and then the movie. That awful movie that Ben Affleck ruined, they made it neo-Nazis, remember?
Yeah.
It's like a safe villain, like, ooh, the neo-Nazis, you know what I mean? Ooh, the North Koreans. Because you can't have a controversial villain like the Chinese or, radical Islamist terrorists or something like that. That's too PC. It's not PC.
Well, I remember when 24, the big show on Fox, was still around in early 2000s, they put out a disclaimer, like, yes, we're interpreting...
Oh, I remember that.
These Islamics as radicals, but not all Muslims are radicals.
Right,
like Kiefer Sutherland went out and did this PSA right before the season started.
I remember that. He came out and he went, well, the people featured on the show are radical terrorists. We don't believe that all Islam is is a radical. I remember that PC disclaimer. And then Homeland, the show Homeland on Showtime, which is great. They went a little PC with the villains too, didn't they?
The last season, which I actually just finished a few weeks ago, and I feel like it ended strongly. Ended with Islamic terrorism, but it also ended with the Russians. So like it was both, you know.
Well, because Trump using the Russians as the villain is like they love doing that now.
It's funny because like I don't want to spoil the way it ended because I think it ended very well. There is a lot of ties into 2019, 2018. What's going on in with Russia.
All right, I will definitely check it out. That's funny. The PC villainization of movies and television.
Yep.
I think South Park has mocked that too. I mean, South Park mocks everything.
Yeah, they did. Nothing safe with South.
No, nothing is safe with them. That's for sure.
I mean, people forget that. Like, I think a year ago, they opened the season with an episode about school shootings, like literally school shootings, and you know, kind of not mocked it, but you know, they. That's why I said they kind of get away with everything. You know what I mean? So I think they're the perfect. They are the perfect vehicle for trying to laugh about this what's happening now.
And I don't remember them almost getting called for canceled over that episode what you're
they
talking
didn't.
About, Greg. But they got called for cancellation when they mock things like Scientology.
And yes,
it's like that is where
because
people
the
think
Scientologists,
they cross the
line. Whenever you have them on or you talk about them, they get very angry.
Very.
They come out of hiding and they come out. They come after you. That check-in on social media, by the way, brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. September is a perfect time to upgrade to a Volvo from Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy 0% financing on all 2020 and 2021 models. That's right, 0%. Start your luxury experience today at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships really do matter. By the way, happy birthday to the United States Air Force. It is their 73rd birthday. Thank you to all of you who have served in the United States Air Force and our military. 73 years. Happy birthday to the Air Force today. 855-839-1210. So in the town hall last night with Joe Biden, a couple of the points last night, one of the women in the audience at the drive-in started telling Joe Biden about all the Trump signs that she sees in her neighborhood. And this is a little awkward for Biden, as you can imagine. Take a listen.
Mr. Vice President, this is Susan Connors, who runs a local HVAC business. She's a Democrat. Susan, welcome.
Thank you, Anderson. Mr. Vice President, I look out over my Biden sign in my front yard, and I see a sea of Trump flags and yard signs. And my question is, what is your plan to build a bridge with voters from the opposing party to lead us forward towards a common future.
Well, you've got it exactly right. I said when I announced the next president of the United States is going to inherit two things, a divided nation and a world in disarray. And remember how I was so roundly criticized during the primaries. I plan to unite the nation. I'm running as a Democrat, but I'm going to be everyone's president. I'm not going to be a Democratic president. I'm going to be America's president. And I've made my whole career based upon bringing people together.
He's going to bring everybody together, and that's really nice because America's really going to unite around a candidate for president who might become president on Friday after a different president was announced on Tuesday. What do I mean by that? The Supreme Court ruling yesterday in Pennsylvania is disastrous for the Republic. I'm going to tell you about that in just a few minutes. Last night also had some other moments. Joe Biden punted last night on a nationwide mask mandate in the CNN town hall. He's talked about this, and then he's flip-flopped on it. President Trump has said he's not going to put in a national mask mandate. I've told you the president has no power to put in a national mask mandate, but the left really wants this to happen. They believe it's like the most important thing in the world would be a national mask mandate. Whether or not the president has the authority to do it or not, that's secondary. Cut number nine.
That for the next 3 months, all Americans should... You'd like to see all Americans wearing masks.
Yes.
And that you would push governors to institute mandates for mask wearing. Back in the pandemic in 1918, in some states, in some towns, they had actually outdoor courts to find people who weren't wearing masks. Is that something you would like to see happen in states?
I would like to see the governors enforce mask wearing, period. I can do that on federal property. As president, I will do that. On federal land, I'd have the authority. If you're on federal land, you must wear a mask. In a federal building, you must wear a mask. And we could have a fine for them not doing it. Look, this is about saving people's lives. There's no question that it saves people's lives.
To those who say it's individual liberty not to wear a mask.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, what Bill Barr recently said is outrageous. That is like slavery. We're taking away freedom. I would tell you what takes away your freedom. What takes away your freedom is not being able to see your kid, not being able to go to the football game or baseball game, not being able to see your mom or dad sick in the hospital, not being able to do the things. That's what costs our freedom. And it's been the failure of this president to deal with this virus. And he knew about it. He knew the detail of it. He knew it in clear terms. Imagine had he at the State of the Union stood up and said, when back in January, I wrote an article for USA Today saying, we've got a pandemic, we got a real problem. Imagine if he had said something. How many more people would be alive?
You know what occurs to me? That we're debating masks in a presidential election when the president has no power over masks. I mean, none whatsoever. This is a literally a debate point. And if you also notice, too, and this is why I wanted you to hear that clip, Joe Biden gets very forceful when he goes after President Trump on coronavirus. Very forceful. But remember, nobody's giving it back to Joe Biden here. No, nobody's turning around and going to Joe Biden at that moment. Hey, Joe, why are you still doing rallies in March? Why were you still having people come together for political rallies in March when everybody by that point, everybody knew that was a bad idea? Why'd you still do that, Joe? Why did you call the president's travel ban xenophobic, Joe? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that Joe Biden's going to have to deal with on a debate stage. You know, it's one thing to be able to beat up Donald Trump at CNN's friendly town hall where there's only Lightning McQueen and Sally and Mater in the parking lot. But when you've got Trump on stage hitting back at him and going, excuse me, I have called mask patriotic. I have said you should wear them. But you are the one who said my travel ban in China was xenophobic, Joe. And you're the one who was still having rallies in March, Joe. So don't criticize me. I mean, what's Biden going to say to that? That's why it's important to remember. I mean, yes, right now, Donald Trump is against the rope, so to speak, when it comes to the coronavirus issue. But Biden's record on this is pretty bad. You know, and he'll turn around and go, well, I'm not the president. But, well, you want to be president. People have to look at your actions on things. The travel ban was put in place on the 28th of January. And on the 29th, Joe Biden called it xenophobic. Trump's going to hit him on that in the debate. He's going to hit him on that big. Joe, you saying we shouldn't have done the travel ban in China? You're saying we shouldn't have done it, Joe? You were against it. You were against it, Joe. Saved a lot of lives. The mask thing is, in a presidential election, in my mind, it's so silly that we're debating masks when neither the president has no authority to impose a mask mandate. And by the way, the only thing he can do is he can order federal buildings that are under the purview of the executive department of government for mask wearing. That's it. Can't mandate them in Congress. Can't mandate them in the courts. All he can do is mandate them in buildings that come under the purview of the executive office of the president or the executive branch of government. That's it. What's he going to do? Mandate them that you have to wear them when you're walking through Yellowstone? I mean, big freaking, like, big whoop. Why is this even taking up so much of the national time? It's because the media is obsessed with masks. They're obsessed with them. They're upset, literally so obsessed with this issue. But the other thing, too, is that I think President Trump's going to go after Joe Biden and hammer him on his vaccine trutherism that he's been going down the road of lately. All right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm going to get into the Pennsylvania ruling in just a second. I want to thank Emmons Roofing for being a great friend of the show and for giving me a roof, a 50-year roof that I have on my house. It's great. Emmons is, they're wonderful people. Matt and his wife, Steph, great friends of mine, great friends of the show, and they've got a great offer for you. How's 12 months same as cash financing sound on all of their projects? Roofing, siding, windows, doors. Maybe you need a new door for your business or your home. Maybe you need a new roof. Maybe you need new windows. Either way, Emmons has you covered with that 50-year warranty. 856-885-6677 is the number. 856-885-6677. Or visit emmonsroofing.com. EmmonsRoofing.com. You'll see the great work that they do, and you'll understand why I trust this great local company that serves Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. EmmonsRoofing.com.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, 855-839-1210. What I mean about the vaccines, by the way, is Biden is still going out there and saying he doesn't trust the vaccine. And I don't care what he wants to say. I don't trust President Trump on vaccines. Trump's not making the vaccine. Okay? Pharmaceutical companies are making the vaccine. And Biden is still playing this game of vaccine trutherism, which I think is incredibly irresponsible. You know, it's one thing to go out there and you know, everybody, take the mask thing is a great example of this, right? They'll go on about how dangerous it is for President Trump to downplay mask wearing. Joe Biden is out there downplaying a vaccine, which you need people to take if you're going to build up an immunity. Otherwise, the vaccine, just throw it out. If people don't take it, it's useless. And nobody calls him out on this point. Cut number five.
To enter the school when it becomes safe and available to the public, because I love teaching, but I don't want to die. And have my wife lose another best friend, like how she lost her mother to COVID-19.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. Joe, look, first of all, I don't trust the president on vaccines. I trust Dr. Fauci. If Fauci says the vaccine is safe, I take the vaccine. That we should listen to the scientists, not to the president, number one. Number two, I think we should be requiring that you have, it's estimated by superintendents around the country, in order to make schools safe for returning, we need to spend about $200 billion to do that, to sanitize, to provide for more teachers and smaller classes and smaller mods.
You know what? I don't trust Trump. I trust Fauci on the vaccine. That again, he's dodging this. They're so worried about the vaccine coming out before Election Day. They're so worried about that. And they're worried about the political implications of that being an October surprise. They're trying to downplay it by making people doubt it. And that is playing politics with people's health and lives and the safety of America. And it's outrageous. And people should call that out. Tom is in South Jersey. Tom, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question for you is, I realize that you can't appeal the decision to the United States Supreme Court. But would the Federal Elections Committee have any power to say, if you want to count the ballots that you receive 3 days later for state issues, that's fine. But this is a federal election. You must count the ballots that are in your possession by midnight on November 3rd and no other ballots. Would that be a challenge that the Republican Party or some organization would be able to pursue?
Look, I'm not an election lawyer. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. I doubt it, though, because the states are the ones that run their elections. And all it says, you know, basically the law is that the election has to be that day. The method by which the state counts the votes. I mean, there were times in the past where you didn't know the outcome of the election on election day because you still had to – people had to go by horseback and pick up all the ballots and that sort of thing. I mean, it took a while, but – so, no, I don't think it's something the Federal Election Commission can jump in and rule on. I think the bigger question is there a 14th Amendment lawsuit here to be raised that say basically like the equal protection of Pennsylvania voters is not being followed here because you I don't know. I mean, it's a stretch. Really, the states get to call the shots here on these elections, and that's the problem, you know?
Yeah, because unfortunately, I'm being forced to vote by mail down here in Jersey.
Right.
Where, you know, if we show up, you have to fill out a provisional. Unless you're handicapped, then you can use the machines, which doesn't make any sense. But that's Jersey. We don't make sense.
Tom, thanks for the call. Here's what I want you to think about, all right? It's Tuesday night. It's election night. And they call the state they call Pennsylvania for Trump. 2 a.m., right? So now it's Wednesday. It's 2 a.m. Wednesday morning. Everybody's up. They come on TV and they announce Pennsylvania has gone for Donald Trump. He is now the president of the United States. And there you go. Won the 270 electoral votes needed to become president. And then on Friday, all these mail-in ballots are counted. And then they turn around and they go, actually, oops, we spoke too soon. Joe Biden won Pennsylvania. He is now president of the United States of America. How do you think that plays out? Because that scenario is exactly what could happen based on the Supreme Court ruling yesterday in Pennsylvania. Supreme Court, by saying that they can now accept ballots up until Friday and count those ballots up until Friday, there's going to be so much confusion. You're going to have people saying, well, they knew Trump won Tuesday, so now suddenly all these ballots appeared out of nowhere. They suddenly started to have people mail-in balloting on Tuesday. And look, it's postmarked on Tuesday, so... you know, you're going to have the kind of serious distrust in the election outcome that I think it's going to cause so much division in our country. It's actually making me nervous. You know, I'm not a histrionic guy. I never get dramatic about this stuff. But I think that if America can't deal with the fact of thinking one guy won Tuesday and then another guy wins on Friday. And Nate Silver at 538, professors, lawyers, they're all coming out and saying this possibility because of the mail-in voting is so likely you should be prepared for it, that we could have Trump win on Tuesday, Biden win on Friday, or Biden win 2 weeks later when they count all the votes in all the states, because some states, the deadlines are even longer. We're talking about one state, our state, Pennsylvania, but in certain states, you're allowed, they can be counting for 2 weeks after the election. The only thing that's mandated under federal law is when the Electoral College has to meet. But that's not till December. There's plenty of time for that. There's no rush on that point. So, I mean, they could be counting this. They could literally be counting. So we have Election Day on November 2nd, and then it's December 2nd. They're still counting. But imagine if on Tuesday night, election night, we think Trump won. We find out on Friday they think it's Biden who won. You think Trump just then comes out and concedes and goes, oh, okay, my bad. Oops, no big deal. All right, Joe, you got this. I'm going back to New York or going to Florida. You think he does that? You think his people do that? Do you do that? Do all the Trump MAGA hat wearing supporters out there just on Friday go, oh, you mean Biden actually won it? Oh, okay, cool. No big deal. I think it's going to make the kind of division you've seen in this country up until now look like everybody playing Candyland together, high on mushrooms, happy and spaced out and giddy and out of it compared to what we're going to look at if that situation that I'm outlining occurs. And this is not a situation that I'm making up here just for the sake of having good radio. I don't need to do that. I always give good radio. I'm making up this. I'm not making up the situation. It's a real, real thing. I read about this the other day and I thought to myself, come on, it's crazy. But it's really not, because Republicans are more likely to vote in person. Democrats are more likely to vote by mail in overwhelming numbers. And so that's why the votes that come in on election day are more likely to be votes for Trump, and votes that come in the mail in the days after are more likely to be votes for Biden. So I don't understand why it's not reasonable to say the vote has to be delivered by election day, not the day after, election day. because you've got plenty of time to make up your mind. The last debate is October 22nd. If you can't figure out who you're going to vote for after watching three presidential debates and studying their policy positions and paying attention, I don't know what to tell you. You probably shouldn't be voting. I mean, I don't think we want your vote at this point if you can't figure it out by then. But that's plenty of time for you to watch the third debate and then put your ballot in the mail the next day. And even with Postal Service delays, it'll still get there by Election Day. It's not fair to America to think that we could have one winner on Tuesday night, another winner on Friday. And that scenario is absolutely, absolutely something that could happen. I said it's early. It's like the Steve Harvey thing. You know, they'll come out and they'll say Trump won Tuesday night and then they'll take it back on Friday. So I asked Bill, pull that clip of Steve Harvey, the time he gave it to, was it Miss Universe?
Yeah, it was in Miss Universe. So the setup was he awarded it to, I believe it was the Philippines, no, Colombia.
Miss Colombia.
And then the real winner was from the Philippines. And this is what ensued after he awarded it to Miss Colombia.
Okay, folks. I have to apologize. The first runner up is Colombia.
Yeah, you see, this is Miss Universe, and there's still a lot of people upset by this. Imagine doing it for the President of the United States. Steve Harvey comes out on Friday and goes, I'm sorry, folks, my bad. First runner-up is Trump. Biden won the president. I mean, could you imagine? America would blow up. A number of you have asked me about the signature issue, and some of you think it's worse than this. I don't know how you can possibly think that. The Secretary of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania also issued written guidance saying that if the signature does not match, they'll still count the ballot. But they kind of do that now anyway. I mean, you go into the polling place, and if your signature doesn't match directly, they can challenge it. But then you get a provisional ballot and you vote. And it's very rare that they really use a signature to block a ballot. I'm just telling you that from my experience. In my mind, this decision by the Supreme Court is so much worse on this counting ballots up until Friday, because you could theoretically, I mean, you could theoretically have ballots that are sent out on Election Day, count, go around, get them, drop them in the mail. They say there can't be ballot harvesting, which is when people deliver the ballots, but they don't say anything about the fact that you could go out on Election Day, get people to vote, and then put them in the mailbox. Now they're postmarked, and they open them up on Friday. Now you got a different result from the election. I don't know. To me, this just sounds crazy. The qualified voter's absentee or mail-in application must be complete based on the guidelines that they put out here. And basically, you know, what it comes down to again, is it ripe for somebody getting a ballot, doing a signature that's not their own because it's not their ballot, mailing it in, and they have to take it? Yeah, but I'm telling you right now, they do that now. They do that now with the signature issue, and it's crazy stuff. As a result, Pennsylvania voters can cast their vote without fear that the ballot could be rejected solely because an election official who isn't trained in handwriting analysis thinks their signatures don't match. Voting should not be a penmanship test, said somebody. Pennsylvania, which is a key swing state, will have no excuse mail-in balloting. So there you go. I think the signature thing is the least of the problems. That's always been the way it is now. Somebody goes to vote in person, and then the person at the local polling place says, I don't think your signature matches what's in the rolls here. They get a provisional ballot. It's very rare that a judge throws it out. It's very rare. I mean, and I've been involved in this game for a long time. But the fact that you can have all these ballots opened up on Friday, counted, we could literally have the outcome of the election changed on Friday when they open up these ballots. Does that sound like a good idea to you? Does that sound like a good idea for America, for you? Does that sound like something America can just deal with? Kevin is in Limerick. Kevin, good morning.
Good day, Rich. Enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir.
My one observation is I don't think they're going to allow Trump to claim victory at all, you know, election night, because you've seen Zuckerberg's. He's already said he's going to shut down all ads, election ads. So Twitter, I think, will shut down Trump and not allow him to claim the higher ground. I've won the election, because they'll say there's no evidence. You know, we can't prove that. So I think you're going to have all the talking heads and all the channels, even Fox, they'll say, well, we don't really know. We need to see how Pennsylvania shakes out. And I bet you there's going to be other states that pull the same little shenanigans, give extra days. You'll see this whole thing being dragged out. So I don't think they're going to let him claim victory. They're just going to, because that's what Bush used over Gore. He says, well, I've won it. And that was a big leverage point when he went up against Gore.
Well, they can't stop him from claiming victory, right? I mean, all it takes is one media outlet to call Pennsylvania for Trump, and Trump can come out and go, I'm president. And then he's declared victory.
Well,
there's
I'll
no way to stop him. What's that?
Yo, I agree. I'll be very interested to see, because, you know, will they allow him, right? So is there a media outlet that will allow him to do that? I don't think they'll let him do it on CNN or MSNBC. I'll bet you Fox doesn't even do it, you know, with their overlords. I'd be shocked if they did that, allowed him to claim victory in Pennsylvania. I hope so.
I mean, it may not be Pennsylvania, right? It could be other states as well, Kevin. I mean, you could have Trump thinking he won Michigan and find out he didn't actually win Michigan when they open up the ballots a few days later. That's why this election is so precocious, I think, in that sense, you know?
Oh, I agree. And I think as a larger point, here's my question. So now what Pennsylvania has cooked up with this whole, we're going to give, you know, our people in our state an extra 3 days.
Right.
So basically you're saying any one of these pivotal states can have all these rules moving forward. We're going to give our people a week extra. I think, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they can actually set this up to go digging for ballots moving forward, right? Because the precedent has been set?
I mean, precedent. The precedent would definitely be set at that point, sure.
Well, that's really disturbing, Rich. That's really upsetting.
Kevin, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Eddie says on Twitter, no credible news organization would call a state for a candidate with the race close and several thousand ballots, which could change outcome, outstanding, but you do you, fake news. Look, I think it's entirely possible somebody could call the election based on the votes that come in and say, well, we know that there's still mail-in ballots out there, but nobody's going to know how many mail-in ballots are out there. How would anyone know that? How could anyone know that? If it's election night and it looks like Trump has won Pennsylvania, we don't know the number of mail-in ballots that are out there. It could be 10. Could be 10,000. Could be 10 million. We don't know, right? So what would stop them from calling the state? They've done this before in elections, and they've had to count provisional ballots, mail-in ballots, military ballots, and then they've reversed the election going forward. But it's not like we have a fixed number of, it's election night, 9 p.m. They look at the votes that come in, and they go, but we know that there's 50,000 mail-in ballots that are still out to be counted. They have no idea the number that's out there. So why would they not call the election? Everybody wants to be first. Everybody wants to be first. That's always a big thing in the media, right? I want to be the first one to do it. I want to be the first one to make the call. I think it's foolish to think that they wouldn't do it. I think that's foolish. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Ed is in Delran. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. How are you today, pal?
What's up, Ed?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was listening to Mark Levin last night, and I can't take credit for something I didn't dream up, but Mark Levin said the Pennsylvania legislature is controlled by Republicans in the Senate and the House. And he said what they need to do is call an emergency session of the legislature and pass a law and say the election is done and put a date certain on it. And he said not even the rogue Supreme Court of Pennsylvania can then overturn it because they make the law.
Yeah. Yeah, he's right. He's absolutely right. And that should happen. And, you know, I think he's 100% right. The legislature needs to act on this. They need to act on this very, very quickly.
Hey, and I was talking to your pal yesterday. You know who that was?
Who's my pal, Ed?
Rick Greco.
Oh, he's a good man. He's a good man.
Yes, he is. Me and him are friends.
Oh, well, good. All right, buddy. Listen, Ed, thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. You're both good men. Thank you for listening to the show, Ed. Appreciate it. All right, let me tell you about Easy Homes PA, because you know what? You want to sell your home right now? Get out of here? Well, then here's what you should do. Do what I did. Reach out to my friends at Easy Homes PA. I just had a great conversation with them the other day. Jim is the owner. Big Trump guy, by the way. Posts stuff on Facebook all the time about Trump. Easy Homes PA will buy your home as is. No realtor fees, no escrow fees, no repairs. You can sell it as is. So when I talked to them, I was amazed to find out how much money you can save just not having to do repairs before you close. without having to worry about realtor fees. I was amazing, right? No open houses, strangers walking through your house. They'll buy your home any size, any condition, any price. And Easy Homes PA will make the timing work on your timeline. Close in days or months, you get a very fair offer and avoid all the hassles of a traditional sale. So if you're ready to sell your house, the easy solution is to call EasyHomesPA.com. EasyHomesPA.com. If you want to sell your house, 215-608-6005 or EasyHomesPA.com. Make home selling a no-brainer. Call them today, 215-608-6005. They can do the home evaluation right over the phone initially, over email. The entire process, in fact, can be COVID-friendly. EasyHomesPA.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Dawn's got some news for us today, and I can already tell from her tweet that it's going to be another Y 2020 but 2020 kind of a thing. So good morning, Dawn. Happy Friday.
Good morning. Happy Friday. The sun is out, 65 degrees, Yellow Show News Live. So the headlines, the big headlines in Pennsylvania making national news. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf saying he's giving you an extra hour to order alcoholic beverages.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Governor. So nice of you.
You know, Zioli has princesses on the brain. Because of, you know, baby Claire, who's not a baby anymore. So that's why I was calling it the new Cinderella rule. That you could, you know.
We watch Cinderella a lot in my house.
So, yeah. So it used to be at a restaurant. You still have to order this with the meal, remember, and eat slowly. So now you don't have to order by 10. You can order by 11 with the meal. But then you have until midnight to I guess, sip it. But at midnight, boom, no more drinking.
It vanishes out of your hand. It's gone forever, right?
Because of COVID.
Because you can drink up until midnight, but at 12:01, you'll get COVID. So the drink has to go away. Because COVID.
And the other huge story Zioli has focused on, if you missed it, you know, starting in the first hour, incredible Zioli analysis on his game. Pennsylvania's highest court ruling mail-in ballots can be counted 3 days after Election Day and drop boxes will be allowed. High school sports lives in Delaware. Yes, it's official, marking a huge reversal from the Delaware Interscholastic Athletics Association. So they had initially said, no, we're not going to have fall sports or at least delay it. But now the board has just voted yes, giving the go ahead with sports starting September 28th, even if schools are teaching online by day. And this is in line with neighboring New Jersey and Pennsylvania, except for, of course, the city of Philadelphia and surrounding suburbs, where parents and students are still holding let them play rallies across our region.
You see, this stuff matters, and parents are really getting involved in all this with the sports and the kids going back to school, you know?
It's all we talk about on the sidelines at practices because it's infuriating.
Yeah.
And I'm on the sidelines with moms and dads who nobody's talking about politics because it's all about our kids. It's about the children, as we've joked for years, but it's about letting them play. So
they're all into it, right? They want the kids back in school and they want the kids playing, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Yes. Google, by the way, it's correcting a so-called typo in its written policy about stalkerware. So critics say stalkerware is. Oh no. not as in.
Here's stalkerware, ready? You wear the Van Halen t-shirt on Friday, ACDC t-shirt on Saturday, right?
So true.
Got to get dressed up. You wear the collared.
Yeah.
Yep. The Van Halen t-shirt with the collar on it. Stalkerware.
Yes, I love it.
I do have an absurd amount of rock and roll t-shirts.
We know.
16. Yeah.
And you're not able to wear them to work anymore because you're not allowed in the building anymore, and two, because of the quasi dress code that they have with no t-shirts.
Yeah, so some of the nice shirts, the ones that get dry cleaned, the nice t-shirts, they're all waiting, hanging up,
exactly.
Waiting to be used down the road. I can't wait till he breaks out that nice Motley Crue World Tour 1988 t-shirt he had that pressed right before COVID.
I did. It's vintage.
I'm sorry, Dawn. You were saying stalker wear?
Yeah, so this is stalker wear, and the critics say, look, this is dangerous. It enables a jealous partner, maybe a wife, who thinks her husband is cheating. But this says, look, you're allowed to, this, they say it's created for children. So parents, you are allowed to use it to track your children and see what they're doing on social media. Not that I would ever do that to my children, but it says in there, don't ever use it on your spouse. So that's their change. Their changes they're putting in there, make sure you never use this, you know, on your spouse.
Yeah, don't use that on your spouse. It's a very, very important point. Excellent, excellent advice. You see, this is news you can use.
That's right. See, updating NASA, which is, by the way, their lawyers probably said you better put that in there. But NASA's new, right? It's all about the lawyers. Updating NASA's new commercial friendly policies under President Donald Trump. NASA confirms it's working with actor Tom Cruise to fly to the ISS, the International Space Station, to film a new movie. And also under these new Space Act agreements, they include Estee Lauder cosmetics giant sending up creams like the beauty creams to the ISS on a cargo flight this fall. And then the astronauts will spend time filming and taking pictures of the products. So I'm picturing like a brilliant astronaut and they've become like a QVC host going, oh, this cream. I don't know. It was interesting.
I like it with the moon in the background. That's nice.
Yeah. The glow of the moon. There's also news of a reality TV competition that will be called Space Hero, where the winner gets a 10-day trip to the ISS as the ultimate prize. So it's the new reality TV show going to space.
Love it. Love it.
Love it. So I looked up how much would one-way trip to space is $50 million. So if you think about it, they're winning $90 to $100 million for, you know, the prize. It's pretty big.
It's a good pot right there. I love it.
I want to mention in light of the, of course, the historic Middle East peace that we have at sundown today, the start of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. So one of the most important dates in the Jewish calendar, celebrating the creation of Earth and starting afresh. And, of course, one more thing with this incredible peace news and peace deal that's happening. I want to get to the NBC 10 First Alert forecast. It's going to be beautiful. 70 degrees, mostly sunny today. Just a tiny chance of some showers. And then the weekend will feel like fall. 64 degrees, bright, beautiful sunshine, but crisp. I can't believe it's already feeling like fall. I'm Dawn. Happy Friday. And you can always find us on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. I've got Ryan Mannion coming on in just a couple minutes. But before that, I want to thank Regular Medic on Twitter, who reminded me that the court also wrote ballots that are received within this period that lack a postmark or other proof of mailing, or for which the postmark or other proof of mailing is illegible, will be presumed to have been mailed by Election Day unless a preponderance of the evidence demonstrates that it was mailed after Election Day. In other words, beyond even the signature issue, you could have a ballot that was dropped in the mail on Wednesday, because let's say theoretically they announced that Trump's the winner Tuesday night, and now suddenly all these ballots are mysteriously mailed on or mysteriously show up without a postmark. But based on the Supreme Court's ruling, even if there is a lack of postmark or other proof of mailing, you have to presume that that ballot is legit. So the ultimate scenario of mail-in voting fraud in Pennsylvania could be just that. Tuesday night, they realize Trump's a winner, but they've got Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to come up with as many ballots as they need to change the outcome of that election. And they don't even require a postmark. Scary stuff indeed. Listen, Newsmax TV has you covered with great shows and a great book too. Blitz by David Horowitz. Blitz 411 is where you should check it out. David Horowitz, his book has been on the New York Times bestseller list for 10 weeks. Get it at bookstores or check out the free offer. Just call 800-NEWSMAX. 800-NEWSMAX or online at blitz411.com. Don't forget to watch David Horowitz on Newsmax TV tonight. Newsmax TV is on all the major cable systems, or download their app and watch it for free on your smartphone. And don't forget to get Blitz by David Horowitz, Newsmax TV.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.